Do you mind if I put this near the speaker?
What is this?
In this way to record them.
No, fine, you can.
Can I put it? Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay. Can I go back to you another
time? Yeah, I apologize. I think that it should be in order for me to do it after I finish after 12, which I hope not.
Thank you very much. Members, the purpose of this meeting is to receive presentations from the departments and entities on the table of the annual report for 2018-2019 financial year. In terms of the money bill at number 9 of 2009, the National Assembly through its committees must annually compile budgetary review and recommendation report and assess financial and non-financial performance of departments. This process will culminate in the committee drafting and adopting budgetary review and recommendation report for three votes to consider at the following meeting. That's the main focus of this committee today. Welcome all of you once again. Thank you very much. Can I now invite the AG?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Thank you very much for the invitation to come and engage with the Portfolio Committee on the project outcomes for the public presentation portfolio for the financial year ended 31 March 2019. My name is Murad Rabonda from the Auditor General. With me here I have Abelan Mulibe, who was in charge of the audit of the TTA portfolio, together with Obiwe Opan Snaki. And just behind us we have other colleagues, we have Fezeka and also Solisa. The three of us will be the ones responsible for the to coordinate between the two in terms of sharing with you the outcome and also responding to questions that may arise from the honorable members. I'm not sure, Chair, which we can continue.
Yes, we can.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will hand over to Abelan, who will be taking us through the outcome.
Enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through all the by engaging public. much by the exercise. So our role as the AGSA is to reflect on the audit work that was performed in order to achieve the portfolio in the oversight role in assessing the performance of the department, taking into consideration the objective of the committee to produce a strategic review and recommendations. I will take you through the areas that we look at when we are auditing. So as the AGSA, we examine three areas. The first one being the financial statement. So we check that the financial statement that we receive are a fair representation and that there is no significant misstatement in those financial statements. The second area that we look at is the performance information, and we check that the performance report is reliable and credible. And the third area that we look at is the compliance with the laws and regulations. So those are the three areas, the financial statement, the performance report, as well as the compliance of with laws and regulations. The next slide, Chairperson, speaks to the audit opinion that we express. Once we look at those three areas that I mentioned, we also then express these different types of audit opinions. The first one is the blue one. This is where ideally we all want all the departments to be in or to be under, which is a clean audit. So in a clean audit, those three areas that I mentioned, there is no problems with regards to fair presentation and presentation in the financial statement, and also your performance report will not have any findings, and then also there is no findings with regards to laws and regulations. The second one, which is yellow, is a financially unqualified opinion with findings. So if I just link that to the three areas again, this is where we have findings maybe with regards to your compliance or your performance report, but on the financial side, we will not have any specific area where we are saying that we will accept that. The qualified opinion, the difference between this one and the financially unqualified, is that there will be maybe one or two areas where there is a material statement that could not be corrected. So this one is a qualification. Qualification does not necessarily mean that it's a good thing. So it's actually not a good thing to qualify. So I just want to maybe just highlight that as well. The next one is the adverse opinion. With the adverse opinion, this is where we are saying that we had a lot of material misstatements, which we put on the financial statements, and we could not agree the amount to the disclosure and the amount to the financial statement. Then the last one, the disclaimed opinion. On the disclaimed opinion, if I can just put it simply, to say we as the auditors were not able to get the supporting information in order for us to express an opinion. Thank you so much. Then the next slide. On this slide, we're just saying that in the portfolio, we have looked at PSI, we've looked at EPSA, MSG Vote, MSG Training and Trading Account, and then the Public Service Commission. Then the colors are just the colors that we'll be using throughout the presentation, which is linking to the previous slide, where the green is obviously the qualified, or the clean audit, the yellow, and the rest of the colors is explained in the previous slide. I also just want to mention on this one that at the end there is a blue color, which is for outstanding audit, which we didn't have in this portfolio. The next slide is on the accountability. We call this accountability wheel, which we're saying that accountability is a summation of planning, proper planning, doing, checking, and acting. And the different role players are responsible for each one of those actions so that together we can all be held accountable. So if I look at the planning, this is where we're saying that we will then have our annual performance plan, where we'll define our target to say as a department, this is what we plan to achieve in the year. And then the doing is where you have your internal controls and supervision, where your preventative controls will be done, your implementation of the internal controls
implementation of your action plan and also to address any root causes that would have been raised in the previous year management report and other internal processes that you would have. Then the checking, this is where the portfolio committee, the senior management, the audit, the internal audit and the external audit comes in, where we're saying that you will need to have your quarterly reporting in order to check that the internal controls that you have in place are actually working and there is no problems within the department. But if you do pick up any problems during the checking or any issues during checking, this is where we're saying there should be consequence management, which is the next one under Act. I also just want to mention here that so often we think that consequence management is about firing people or dismissing people, but this could also be correction of any errors that you would have picked up when you're doing the checking process, and also maybe if there's a need to do training, then you can do the training and also investigation. If all of this is done and the planning, doing, checking, act is done properly within the department, then that's when we'll expect a better audit results and the impact will be a better life for our citizens. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson, is your audit outcome for the past 5 years. If we look at 2014-15, which was 5 years ago, you'll see that we only had one department within the portfolio, which was PSC, which had a clean audit, and then the other three were unqualified. And if you look in the current year, we have two audits, CPSI and NSG vote, which are both clean without any findings. So we commend the CPSI for retaining its clean audit, because this is the second year, if you check from 2017-18 and also in the current year, they still maintain their clean audit. And NSG vote, we commend them for obtaining a clean audit in the current year. If we're looking at GPSA, PSA and NSG TGA, the trading entity, we're saying that there is still a challenge when it comes to the preparation for the financial statements, because there were material adjustments which were affected in the annual financial statements submitted for audit, and this was at NSG and PSC. Compliance with laws and regulations also remains a concern, as material non-compliance with laws and regulations were reported in DPSA, PSC, and NSG. So that is the reason why those three are still in the yellow and they are not clean. But if those areas are looked into and we focus on the compliance with laws and regulations, focus on the quality of the financial statements and the quality of the performance report that is submitted, then that's when we believe that the other three departments will also follow suit and be clean, like your NSG vote and CPSI. I will go into detail in terms of the findings as I go to the next slide. The next slide talks about the financial reporting, which is one of the three areas that I mentioned at the beginning that we look at. So I just want to mention to you, Chairperson, that all auditees, five of them in our portfolio, submitted the financial statements at the legislative date, which is the 31st of May. So all five auditees submitted their financial statements for the current year and also in the previous year. Financial statements which were submitted were without errors. Last year we had four departments which submitted without errors, and this year we have three, which is why you see that there is that regression under movement. And we also just saying that the NSG TA and PSC were unqualified due to the fact that we made some adjustments to the financial statements that were submitted on the 31st of May. But the quality of the financial statements after submission for all the entities, we were happy with all the entities, and that is why we don't have any qualification areas. The next slide speaks to the performance reporting, which I also explained before in terms of the areas that we look at. You will see that at the top left there of the slide, we've expanded plan do and checking, just to say that with this area of performance reporting, that is where your plan comes in through your APP, you're doing in terms of your internal controls and making sure that there is daily controls that are in place to make sure that credible information is presented. And the checking, this is where we do your quarterly reporting and also your annual reporting. So it just shows on your accountability wheel where this slide fits in. The performance report, which was submitted without any errors. In the previous year, we had zero, which were submitted without any errors. And in the current year, only CPSI submitted the performance report without any errors. A DPSA, vote, and NSG, TTA, they had no material findings because we corrected the APR that was submitted on the 31st of May. However, at PSC, we had one program which was actually qualified. So if you check at the bottom there, it says that reliable reporting of achievements we had at all the departments except for PSC. And on the usefulness of the information that was the performance indicators and targets, it was all audited. I would like to go to the next area, Honorable Chairperson and the committee members, which is the compliance with legislation. In 2018-19, as already shown on the previous slide with regards to the 5 year history, you will see that CPSI and NSG vote. They did not have any findings with regards to compliance with legislation. However, at DPSA, PSC, NSG, TTA, we had findings. On the right-hand side of the slide, we've just put for you there, Chairperson, the top non-compliance areas, which is your management of procurement and contract, the quality of financial statements, as well as the irregular and fruitless expenditure. The next slide speaks to the doing. If you check on the top left, we've also again expanded the do, which is the area that deals with internal controls. Internal controls is procedures and policies that you have as a department to safeguard your assets and also to promote accountability as part of your accountability will. So if you check here on the portfolio, you will see that overall it's green, meaning that the portfolio is doing well. There's just one or two areas that we've raised there under PSC, under daily and monitoring of monthly controls. And this is just due to the fact that we had an area in performance information that we had a concern with, and also the adjustments to the financial statements that was done. Under the review and monitoring of the compliance, as already explained in the previous slides, there was no issues at NSG vote, but we had issues at DPSA, PSC, NSG, and TTA. You will see on this slide that there is one department that's missing, mm-hmm. which is your CPSI. For status of internal control, and also the next slide, which is assurance provided, we did not assess your CPSI. That is why here it only shows four departments and not five. Also on the next slide, Chairperson, you see that it also looks good in terms of the fact that we have a lot of green on the assurance provided. On this slide, we are talking about checking. Again, there at the top left, where we're saying we're looking at the quarterly reporting and we're looking at the monitoring. In terms of the senior management, that is where it's more on the operational level, and then your accounting officer, your executive authority, internal audit and audit committees, where they do more of your monitoring and not necessarily more involved in the operation of the department. So we had issues, I think, as already mentioned, under financial statements, compliance, and the quality of the performance report, and that is why under senior management we're saying that they provide some assurance due to the fact that those are the people that are more responsible for the operations of the department. Under the accounting officer, we said for DPSA, the accounting officer provides some assurance. And the reason for this, honorable members and chairperson, is due to the fact that we found that there was no policy to deal with the financial misconduct in the department. We also had an issue around the composition of the audit committee, as well as the posts which were not filled within 12 months. And so that those are just the reasons why for DPSA we raised, we assessed the accounting officer in providing some assurance. The next slide talks to the financial health. On this, on financial health, what we're saying is that all the auditees in the portfolio are a going concern, and we just highlighted those three areas where we're saying when it comes to revenue management at NSG TTA, there's just an issue in terms of collecting monies owed to the department. We assess the debtors' days to be 98 in the previous year. And in the current year, the debtors collection period was 75 days. So we're saying that that is one of the areas that the trading entity will need to look at. Under asset and liability management, what we're saying is that if the department were not on on MCS and they were on accrual basis, on the DPSA and PSC would have an issue on the deficit, meaning that they would have been they would have made a loss in the current year. Under liquidity, we're saying the current liabilities would exceed the current assets for all the auditees in the portfolio. The net liability position, this is now looking at your total liabilities and your total assets. We're saying that at DPSA, we had a net liability position. The last item is the cash management, where we noticed that at the trading entity, the net cash flows from the operating activities was actually negative in the current year. But I just want to mention again that all the auditees in the portfolio are a going concern and able to continue to provide service delivery. When we are looking at unauthorized expenditure is expenditure not in accordance with the budget, so this is where you've overspent on the budget, and none of the entities in the portfolio incurred any unauthorized expenditure in the current year as well as in the previous year. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, this is expenditure we're saying that it's been incurred in vain and could have been avoided had reasonable steps been taken. So we are saying this is where we didn't get the value for money as the department. So if we're looking at the amount for the previous year, the amount was just 10,000 rand, and in the current year it was 20,000 rand. And the nature of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is where officials were supposed to attend a scheduled training, and they ended up not attending. This was an NSG vote. And for CPSI, there was a payment that was made for services which were not rendered. This is also explained in detail in the CPSI annual report. If we're looking at the bottom right, where we have the two graphs, we're just looking at the previous year's fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and this has been investigated for DPSA and CPSI. So this is when we are looking at the previous year's and not the current year's one. So 2017-18 will be relating to 16-17, and 18-19 is relating to 17-18. So all the fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the department, those two departments have been investigated. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson and committee members, is looking at the irregular expenditure, which has decreased over the past 2 years. Irregular expenditure is incurred in contravention to the key legislation. I just also want to mention here that goods may have been delivered, but prescribed processes not followed. This is not necessarily where we are saying that, it's not to say money was paid and then there was no services rendered. Services that was rendered, it's just that due process might not have been followed. So we only looked at whether the legislation was followed or not. But in terms of service delivery, that is something that maybe we'll have to go into detail and to say whether the service was delivered or not. The irregular expenditure has decreased from 7.44 7 million in the previous year to 2.5 million in the current year. I just want to also mention here that out of the 2.56 million in the current year, 2.4 million, which is 80% of that amount, is relating to ongoing multi-year contract. So this is a regular expenditure that was identified maybe in the previous year or in the year before last, and the contract is still continuing. So in the current year, it will still be irregular until the contract comes to an end. So the amount that relates only to the current year is about 500,000 if you take the 2.56 and minus the 2.04 million. The nature of the irregular expenditure, this is where three quotations were not obtained and deviations were not approved. I've also just included the names of the departments where this didn't happen, and also where deviations were not justifiable, and then also mandatory IT goods or services were not procured through the CETA. Or that was for one of the departments, PSC, with the last one being contract extension not approved by the delegated official, and this is at TTA vote. And also I just want to mention here that also this was also relate both at vote and TTA is relating to contracts that were identified in the previous year, and then now the contract was just continuing in the current year. Also, if you look at the history of the irregular expenditure reported in the previous years, at all these departments, investigations have been done. That is why we have the green at the bottom of the at the bottom right of the slide. This slide, the next one, it also just goes into, I think it just goes specifically into supply chain. Some of the measures I've already mentioned in the previous slide. So the most common findings on supply chain, as mentioned already, the three quotations not obtained, and also where we have deviations not justifiable, and then the mandatory IT, which I've already spoken to as well. The next slide talks about the fraud and lack of consequences. This is where we are checking as to whether there's been any allegations of financial misconduct or fraud. I think I just want to maybe just highlight that we are talking about allegations, and it's not cases where we can say it's been, we know for sure under the nature that it's been confirmed. So under allegations not investigated, we had an NSG vote in TTA in the current year. So if you look at the bottom of the slides, if I just go into the nature, it's soliciting of bribes by employees from suppliers, employees taking training material for personal use, employees doing business with other state institutions, employees doing private work during business hours, and leave taken by employees without completing the leave forms. Again, before I go to the next slide, Chairperson, I just want to mention that this is allegations, meaning that investigations will still need to take place, and hence there at the bottom at the top it shows the bar for vote and TTA to say allegations are not investigated yet. This will then follow up in the following year, and then we can, and when we do our audit, then we'll just check if indeed these allegations were factual or not. The next slide, Chairperson, is just a snapshot of the portfolio, which I've already mentioned at the top left there. It's basically a summary of all the slides. Again, if I can just maybe mention a few things, we have a clean audit on CPSI and NSG vote, and also 100% of the portfolio, there was no qualification, but we did have some issues on performance reports, as well as findings on compliance and your irregular expenditure, which I've also gone through for that 2.56 million. I think one of the questions that maybe might have a chance to say is, what is the root cause for the other three departments that have not obtained a clean audit? So we're saying that there is slow or no response to improving controls and assessing. Management does not respond with the required agency to our messages about addressing this and improving internal control. What happens is that you have that find that some of the issues that we raise in the management report, when we come back for audit, not all of them have been addressed yet. But I believe that if we do focus on those areas of non-compliance and also quality of the performance report, we'll also see an improvement on the PSA, PSC, and NTA. The overall message, I've covered quite a bit of this when I went to the 5 years. We say the two entities, which are doing the clean audit, and also just saying that it's an unqualified audit opinion on the PSA, NTA, and the PSC. I've also mentioned again, also I want to be repeat, but the areas that we need to really focus on is the compliance with laws and regulations, as well as the two management reports and the preparation of the financial statements.
Thank you.
Our recommendations to the department and the entities is saying, we are saying that there should be timely review of quarterly and annual performance reports, as well as the financial statement. And then also the recommendation again is just to say we should be looking into compliance with laws and regulations closely and monitor. So I think also that goes back to that to the accountability rule, to say we need to make sure that each and every person or every stakeholder is doing the plan, check and act in order for everyone to be accountable. Adequate system for collecting and recording revenue received from training provided and should be implemented for DTA. This is where we're looking at the data days as mentioned before. Management should regularly monitor quarterly reporting to maintain clean audit for CCSI and NSG. So we're just saying that even though we did get clean audit, we should continue to make sure that the monitoring process so that the audit outcome does not remain. And to the portfolio committee chairperson, we should monitor the implementation of commitments by the accounting officers and the executive authority, and the portfolio committee should request management to provide feedback on the implementation and progress of the action plan to ensure improvement in the audit outcomes in the portfolio. And that's the audit outcomes for the public service and administration.
Thank you very much, Dr. Orton, for the question. I think Honorable Good and Honorable Tua.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, the AG for the just fix some charities from the frankly, if one may say that, you see, they say, people are the people of my English. English, I'm a bagamani. So, I'm not sure they are like now I wanted to check something. In your presentation you mentioned that when you said all this, there was no policy and conduct. I wanted to check if there any policy now that is for me. All what we've witnessed here, your expenditure, your wasteful expenditure, it is caused by non-compliance. Then, what measures you as AG you put down to push the department for action? Because if not so, we live
life of coming and going. You mentioned that over 5 years, some of the things here have been sort of in head over 5 years. Now, we are going to get some of the charities from the department, but still, AG is there. Over 5 years, AG, how do you crack your wheat yet? If some of the things have been checked for 5 years, and you are there. And that's why I was saying earlier on, it will come and go, because there is no wheat that is cracked, there are no measures that are pushed to the department for action. And for me, it is here that the non-compliance is causing this department. And if the non-compliance is causing this department, how do we then deal with it? Because, one other thing is that under fraud, you are saying it's still allegations. I fully agree that you can't support someone for allegations. But why do we see that we can see the allegations, but we're waiting for this case? Because I'm still standing to say these things are causing damage. And indeed, we are looking at aging to be the Messiah here, to bail these people out, to say, move from yellow. Your place is not in yellow, your place is in green. How do we then all be heavily increased? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the issue where two officials didn't attend the training course, you know, at 11,000 Rand and 8,000 Rand, I would really like to see that, just adding on to what the previous premier said, that there's a clear policy within the employment that if they had to renege on attending training courses, that they would be liable for such. Because I don't think we should be paying for officials that simply just don't go to the training. That's the one issue. And then also, I would really welcome the report on the food risk and waste and expenditure so that we can see exactly who are the culprits and what has happened and why this has happened, as the AG said, to come to this committee so that we can analyse it. Thank you, Chair.
I would like to ask, especially in the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, how can we investigate the 2018 and 19 and then leave the 2017-2018, because we must be consistent and start from the back and then go forward. Thank you.
Over to you, Amy.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, members, for the questions. We'll share the question and respond to the question amongst ourselves here. Honorable, on the question around the policy for financial misconduct, Rabelan will address that. And then on the question around what measures are we putting in place at the AG to cut the wind, I think we just to first clarify our mandate and then also touch on what needs to happen. So last Monday, Honorable Chair, you remember that we engaged with the committee on what we termed the capacity building, where we were specifically talking about what is the role of the AGSA, and then in that plan we also indicated what we do and what we do not do. We also then spoke a lot about the expanded mandate of the AGSA. So, but basically, as the AGSA, we are just one piece of the what we call the accountability framework. So, which says someone must come and there are those who are accountable for operations of the department. They must do that and be able to account financially to the financial statements, operationally through the annual reports or business reports, and while doing that, must conduct the decision. We come as the watchdog to go and check whether that will happen. And where we found material non-compliance or error, we report that. So that those other role players within the accountability framework can then say, the agency is telling us something here. Let us listen, let us do something about it. So what becomes key for us to ensure that that will happen is the clarity of our messages. Are we giving you a clear message as parliament, so that parliament can then say, we got the message from AG, we understand the message, this is what we want to do about it. So it becomes a concern from our side if we're giving the message, we give the message and it's not understandable. That's why we need to go back and look at it. So basically, Honorable Bunko, what we're saying right now is that we have done our work within the product, which is the audition process, and what we're presenting to parliament right now. And we're saying, based on this outcome, there need to be accountability and the consequences for what we want to withdraw. Unfortunately, our mandate does not allow us to keep the ones we implement those consequences. There are a lot of other repairs within the system. Honorable Glad, on the question around the policy for people who do not attend the training, Honorable Chair, I will request that maybe that question be forwarded to the department. They are the owners of the system, they must be able to change to indicate what they have in place. Also, together with the second question on the report on products and wasteful expenditure, who are the details and who is responsible, I'm hoping that the committee can request that from the department, Chair, if you can allow us to do that. Apologies, Honorable Chair, we did not get clearly the question from Honorable Musebe, and we would really appreciate if we can get the question so that we can debate the response.
According to the report, it says that on page 18, previous year, fruitless and wasteful expenditure reported for investigation. On the green, it says it was investigated, and then on the red, it was not investigated. And then according to the year, it's 2018 and 2019, which was investigated. And then this one on the red, 2017 and 2018, was not investigated. So I want to know why, because you have to be consistent. How can you, let me put the question like this. What is your criteria for investigation? How do you investigate?
Thank you very much, Honorable Mustafa, for that clarification on the question. So the two blocks that you see on the bottom, green, which says investigated, and the red that is not investigated, those are legend to indicate that if the bar is green, the bar is telling you that what we reported in 2018 was investigated. Had it been red, it would be saying that it should not investigate. So in this case, they were giving a message that says, for both irregular expenditure and also for the social expenditure, the institution that we have mentioned in those files, they investigated that which we reported that year. Yes, so we are also hoping that what we are putting in the current year, they also investigate and take appropriate action based on the outcome of the investigation. Okay, I'll just hand over to my colleague Rabelan to respond on the first, on the question from Honorable Ntoli regarding the policy.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Sorry, just on what was reported back here. Look, I understand fully that the department must give us those reports.
was just that I was highlighting the issues, and from the committee side, Chair, we would certainly have to request those reports. But I also think there should be a clear timeline as to when that policy will be finalised, because if you don't do that, for next year we'll be sitting here discussing the very same thing and the same things will be happening, because there's no clear timeline put in place in order to deal with the policy. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Also, a couple of reports. But if I may just check a few things. With regard to the regulation, which, I just want to check the part of contracts. Because if they go over a period of time, there's nothing much that we can change from the initial process. Is the gap here an issue of realization? Because that you can change by the for example, where on page 19 you made that preparation, 2.04 of the project the contractor step. Then you have another point to say 500,000 of which would then be the other year. On that one, the question to really ask is whether it's a recurrence of the same issues that have been going on, or it will be new. So I just hope you understand the two issues that I'm sitting in the system. One is the contracts that attempt to be regular because of the process that is started here. But because they are over a period of time, it will continue to come. Now the question is the gap in the regularization process or in the contract itself? So that's one. And the second issue is on the 500,000, which I would take it to be the new. Much as it is new in that year, but is it a point of reoccurring of the same thing that would have happened in a previous financial year, or it may be new? So this question is asked on the basis of what you expect later in terms of its monitoring of what happened. That if you are cleaning the past, that you are doing investigations, because here would be that you do not get back to the same in the next financial year, whether small or big, in terms of amount. So I'm asking for that. Which therefore takes me to probably the last point. On the recommendation, that you also now want to come to the point of doing the portfolio committee, another layer of assurance, so to say. But I see that in the report itself for the period of time, there's no reflection on the portfolio in terms of your assurance levels. So I just wanted to check there whether it will be because there were no issues that were referred to the portfolio which needs to come at this point, or you are introducing this at this point so that we know we may be subjected to this only next year, or are there issues that are coming from the portfolio?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, I'll take the
thank you, Honourable Manele. Thank you, Chair. With regard to the multi-year contract. So you are quite right, Honourable Manele, that the process of investigation will ultimately lead to the decision around the contract. So the investigation must get the result that says, first, are we making losses in this contract? And based on that, we need to make sure that we start recovering the losses. That's the decision that the contractors have taken. Secondly, was there any illegalities in the contract, or was it just the non-compliance in good faith of the bid? That will also inform the decision whether you cancel the contract or not, or just continue with it. I will just request my colleagues here to be able to share the lessons of whether I will include the outcome of the investigation, what came out from those investigations. The third item on that one is the regular research, which sits outside the department. But the moment when you come and say, I've done the investigation, I found that we are not making any losses in the contract. The people who did the non-compliance were acting to fail. That's when you request National Treasury for a compensation, which normally takes a lot of time because National Treasury is able to do that. They ask for less information to make sure that they are making the right decision. But I just request my colleagues to help in terms of whether they looked at that, that some of the investigation and what came out of the investigation. And then I'll also ask my colleague to touch on the second point regarding 500,000 rand. The nature of the non-compliance, it is similar to the things that were happening in the past. So that the key thing we agree fully with you is that we need to be putting measures to prevent the occurrence of the non-compliance that we've been reporting. Regarding the assessment of the portfolio committee as one of the assurance providers, we do that, but for the messages of this year, there's a firm decision that we've taken to say we're not engaging Parliament this year, let us not reflect on that. It is something that can change going forward. Also considering the fact that this is the first sitting, this is the first year of this new Parliament, it becomes very much more effective when you're saying you as a committee have been here for the past year, the message that you are reporting, giving to you, you are part of this message and let us reflect on you as well. So that's why I'm saying going forward that may change. But that's the thing that is taken at a different level than where we are than us. But I'll just request my colleagues to check this on the others.
I'll speak in terms of the contracts that I'm carrying. At National School of Government, the contracts that were carrying was relating to a security contract, and measures were taken by management. They investigated the contract, and currently they are awaiting coordination from National Treasury. And the contract did come to an end, and a new company has been appointed because it was just an extension of an old contract, and the extension was not did not follow proper processes. So there have been actions that have been taken to remedy the situation.
Accounting, collecting,
maintain the accountability model, all of us as institutions have got a role in terms of upholding the democracy in the country.
Thank you very much. I've concluded the questions and answers on the negative. Can I now invite the Honorable Minister, Honorable Senator Mkhunu?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. If you are pressed with time, you are at liberty to leave, if you are not, just stay on. Can you come later?
I wanted to comment today.
Okay. Then, what do you want
to do? Thank you very much, Chair. Let us say on the report that you welcome the report, welcome the findings. We do, as we've done, recognize the efforts of those who refer to us as ministry and account to us as ministry in relation to the state of finances as reflected upon by the report of AG. First of all, to say that we were outstanding meeting with AG. I will promise each other three quarters of the day has been dealing with our department and all the entities, partly discussing overall work of the AG in relation to our work. We do note, as accounting officers do note, that although the report reflects good efforts in terms of accountability, but however, there are these matters that relate to the findings. PSC, on one hand, with their own chair, but there isn't the budget from us, and therefore what it says. But also those that relate to the NSC and TPSA. We want to commit to the portfolio committee that it's our own interest to recognize that we just make an effort once and for all to obtain in order to start the fight. And I think it is humanly possible to do so. Proof is there, CPSI has done very well. All of the agencies, our departments that report to us, with one finding, which we have discussed, just like we have discussed the other findings with everybody that reports to us. We know that the accounting officers here are really capable to rise to the occasion. All they have to do is to ensure that month after month they are compliant and we are there to guarantee that. And although we are dealing with the past, which overlaps to us, but we do take responsibilities now that we're there. And from that, we want to make better decisions. We'll ensure that going forward, all the wrongs that we're supposed to do act on, and the improvements that need to take place, we will ensure that we do likewise. Otherwise, we're not relaxed, but we're fairly satisfied that at least our head is above water as far as accountability is concerned. We're managing from the past, we'll deal with the rest of the matters.
Thank you. Are you ready, Didi? If you have hard copies or you're still connecting them, if you are ready.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister. Thank you for this opportunity to present the 2018-19 annual report. I will be running through the summary of the audit outcomes. Obviously, we've already been dealing with that in the previous we're also looking at a five-year trend analysis on GSA performance, and then looking at the specific performance in detail for 2018-19. We look at the total expenditure per program, the total expenditure for economic classification, as well as any other financial information.
There's a bit of a confusion. Let me address that confusion.
Okay.
The minister is supposed to do an overview before you do the presentation. I thought that he concluded with the overview, yet it is not the case. Now I'm giving the minister to do that.
So what happened today was I was just commenting on the overall on the report of the AG overall. Now that you are calling DPSA to report, I then have to usher them in.
Please do.
And I will be short. We have made a point which applies also directly to GPSA that overall compliance with AG emanating from the reports is work that must continue upwards as we receive the report and as we accept it. And also, on our way to a meeting with the office of the AG. The second point that I wanted to make is we have the Public Service Management Act, which is something that we committed to right from the beginning that we will be continuing with. And we just want to report to the committee that we are continuing with the work, and DG will touch on it in terms of work that we have made progress on PAMA. It's work that continues. Then we touched on the, I think last time, on the organizational structure of the department. We do want to say work has been done and not completed, but the critical part has been completed in terms of consultations with Manco and Labour, and the ESCO have compiled the reports, they have applied their mind, they've done everything, and they've made a submission to us. And that submission is under consideration from us now as ministry, and it's going to be with us until our next week, Wednesday, Thursday, at which we will then make our final response to it and allow for the completion thereof, so that we will reach the end of this. The challenge to us to work under the services is where they know provide and adopt it program, and therefore we'll try to speed it up as far as possible. And we should possibly, if all goes well, even by Tuesday, we should be able to say to DG, take last mile on this matter. Of course, we'll receive all the inputs and compile the reports. So we're on our way. By the time we meet the assignment for the committee, I think we should have completed the structure. But there's progress. As we do the organogram and on our way to completing it, I must touch a little bit on NMOC, which is work that relates to us as well. We have been speeding up interaction with the presidency and the president himself on this matter, and we've decided that we should take part. The president has allowed us to deal with the important part of making sure that everybody who previously occupied whatever in unmatched departments, we do find accommodation, especially at DG level, and that process has gone quite some way. At the moment, there are negotiations that are taking place with various officials in their individual capacities, depending on whether they are absorbable or not absorbable, accommodated or not accommodated, so that those who we see are not going to be accommodated, we're negotiating with them to for them to get placed elsewhere. We've made some progress. Some have already been placed, some DGs, but by and large, we are discussing with relevant ministers where there are vacancies, and we are making good progress. It's a slow, sensitive issue, because it borders on contracts and remaining periods, and we're avoiding a situation where there are ancient staff lines, so
but we're making progress in that regard. With regard, I think at some point, although it's not directly a matter today, we did discuss the handbook with the portfolio committee, and we did indicate we're making progress. I must indicate that that process has been completed now. The new rules on the national handbook are with the president as we speak were submitted. The other work is touching on the ministers, work is with the president. But we have had a discussion with the president. We didn't just have a word. We did present and we're moving forward. And so we're waiting the president to make his final decision and on this. But to some extent, we've given indications to ministers in terms of what is coming, but we haven't reported the official. We don't intend reporting. We just intend giving it to the president and the president our views. Let's go on so that we make it. Those are, so as soon as the organogram is completed, which should take very few weeks from now, we are then going to be able to ensure vacancies are filled at all required levels now that we have certainty in terms of where we want to go. I must say that overall there is view in the trader that we need to try and cut down on the entities, all departments across, because of the imperatives, both of this administration, but also in terms of their viability and so on. We are in discussion ourselves with SF, NSG, and CPSI, but we ourselves, even with those two, we are looking at what is the information that call, and I'm hoping forward we will be reporting to the portfolio committee next time we meet on the matters. At this stage, Chair, I think I should, in the interest of time, allow the teacher to get into the details. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. Perhaps, Honourable Chair, if you could just give me the time frame for the presentation so that I don't take too long on any of the time. No, thanks, Chair. I was just asking the time because I don't want to take too long allocated how long the time for the presentation. So,
but we will tell you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the outline of the presentation, as I indicated to all members, provided an overview. I think it's standard, so I won't spend too much time there, and I will streamline the actual interaction of the slide according to the request. So obviously, we're focusing on the 2018-19 annual report. With this report, so we will look less at the achievements, maybe against the areas we didn't achieve, focusing on that more. We'll look at the expenditure and some key HR statistics. And basically, just to give the assurance that targets that were not achieved have been carried over to the 1920 financial. Your implementation on the current ATP. And as we know, we had an unqualified opinion. There were no material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information for programs 3 to 6, which were selected for auditing. There were material findings on compliance with respect to specific matters in key legislation. The issue of expenditure management, the irregular expenditure which was identified of $310,000 as disclosed in the annual financial statement. The irregular expenditure was caused by irregular procurement without the required price quotations. In fact, they come from the previous financial year, as the AG did explain that irregular expenditure would carry over if the original decision was irregular. In any event, we are currently finalizing those investigations right now. And at the same time, in terms of the general audit findings that have been raised, we have developed a plan to deal with all the findings and to ensure that we monitor and report regularly to the EXCO, the audit committee, and ultimately to the executive authority on the management of this. I think it is important when we look at the next slide to acknowledge that in terms of the actual annual performance targets, there is a decline which increased on previous presentations. The committee, I've indicated that there was a lot of instability in the department. There was a high turnover of executive authorities during the FIP administration, but from the end of the FIP administration, there has been an attempt to really try and stabilize the department, and I will focus more on targets that were not achieved rather than targets that were achieved. So, basically, we can see that 7 targets were not achieved, which is 17%, and this is broken down in terms of the various programs. The highest number of targets not achieved were in the service delivery support program, and I have indicated in order to expedite the work of the committee, we focus more on targets that have not been so there was all the compliance in terms of the department's reporting is indicated in this slide, which deals with Program 1 administration, the interim finance and annual financial statements, BBPE status, quarterly reports, progress reports on internal audit and risk management plans, status of DPSA compliance to financial management, HR and labor relations prescripts and so on, those were all complied. The third quarterly progress report on the implementation of the department's bilateral and multilateral agreements and programs was delayed because of late submission of input, and that did delay the compliance of the third quarterly progress report. So that is the area of non-compliance in program one. Program two on policy development, research and analysis achieved all its annual targets, including the draft strategic framework for norms and standards, the operationalization of the Office of Standards as envisaged, the compliance report on the monitoring of selected public service norms and standards, the proposals around the configuration of the Centre of National Government, consultations on the draft white paper for transformation and modernization of public administration, and then workshops on the productivity measurement tool, as well as the draft organizational functionality assessment tool. Program three on public service employment and conditions of service, they had six annual targets, reports on the funded vacant posts on Parasol, implementation of the revised SMS performance management and development system, reports on the implementation of the government employee housing scheme, the annual report on the appointment of persons into developmental programs was produced. The non-achieved targets related to the implementation of the graduate recruitment scheme framework, it was delayed because of the data validation process, which includes verification of various data that took longer than anticipated, but the report has subsequently been completed. And the quarterly reports on the average number of days to resolve disciplinary cases, there were two of them, which were not timely submitted, but the reports were finalized, and we do provide detail which would be of interest relating to the number of misconduct cases as at the end of 31st of December 29. 1,448 cases had been finalized by national departments at the end of December, that should be 2018. And out of the cases finalized, 98% were finalized within the 90-day period, and the cost of the quarterly suspensions was $27 million. That's obviously a number of high concern, as in the case of provincial departments, where the cost of the quarterly suspensions stood at just under $20 million, with 656 cases finalized, and 501 of those, 76%, finalized within the 90-day period. The Government Chief Information Officer program achieved all of its targets. Digitalization strategic framework was developed. A public service cloud policy was developed. The ICT value management framework was developed, and the ICT security assessment standard was developed, and the corporate governance of ICT assessment standard was revised. And that obviously is a very important framework for the management of ICT across the public service. Also, we had the report on progress made by all national and provincial departments in managing costs related to IT procurement. We do see an increase in costs, and this is obviously a matter we have already discussed with the portfolio committee, that we need to try and drive that downwards in terms of cost containment, which is critical in the current fiscal challenges which we face as we say right now. On service delivery support, seven annual targets, three were not achieved. So the report on the implementation of operation management framework by three prioritized departments was achieved. Assessment reports on the implementation of budgeting standards in selected departments was achieved. The report on the implementation of the public service charter was produced. The framework towards improving the community development workers program was developed. The non-achieved targets was the framework for the establishment, promotion and maintenance of service centers. It's finished outside the period. It was finalized in April 29. as was the report on service delivery improvement plans, also not finished within the required period by the end of the financial year, but it was finished in April of this year. And the there were delays around the APRM because the APRM continental body has recommended that a review or follow-up review, because we're going for the second generation review, should not take place during an election period. So that has to be held over to the current financial year. Governance of public administration, there were 8 targets, 7 were achieved, 1 was not achieved. There was a report on the retention of HODs that was completed. And then also the report on implementation of the guideline on mentoring and peer support to 4 departments was achieved. The annual report on support to departments to strengthen their internal human resource capacity was completed. The report on the adherence by designated employees from national and provincial departments to the legislative framework regarding e-disclosure was developed. There has been improvements in terms of adherence by departments with the e-disclosure system, but there is still some work to go in order to achieve the 100% we're looking for. Then the directive on the performance of other remunerative work and the report on the adherence to this by public service employees was developed, as well as the report on the adherence by public service employees to prohibitions from conducting business with an alternate state was developed. There were a number of consultative workshops to support national and provincial departments on the implementation of the framework for the management of protected disclosures. The non-achieved output was on the adherence by national and provincial departments to the directive on public administration and management delegation. There were challenges, and the report was resubmitted in April of 2019. So basically, I think across all the programs, when certain projects were not completed, as the report indicates, they have now been completed. So then, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister, the next slide deals with the total expenditure per program. And it does, firstly, this deals with the vote as a whole. And it shows that there were specific challenges within the DPSA, which are elaborated on to some extent here around all the different economic classified areas, compensation of employees, goods and services, payment for financial assets, transfers and subsidies, payment of capital assets, which leaves the DPSA at 97.4, slightly below 98%, which is considered in terms of expenditure to be the minimum norm and standard. The reasons for the under-expenditure were unfilled vacant posts, which in a sense the Minister's overview helps us to understand, because there's been a long-standing challenge around final approval of the organizational structure of the department. And the Minister explained where we are now in the taking the final steps to finalize that process. The postponement of the APRM also led to a degree of under-expenditure, as well as the budget for the government employees housing scheme, which operated on the assumption that the scheme would become a separate entity. It has not materialized. It's not really part of the thinking going forward. And that money was ring-fenced, so that led to under-expenditure. 30-day payment, DPSA is fully compliant. No unauthorized expenditure incurred during 2018-19 financial year. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, none incurred during 2018-19. And as we've already indicated, there are some over, and they are currently being investigated. We have referred them actually to the PNC. In terms of human resource management, we just give an elaboration here on the number of posts approved, the number of posts sold, the vacancy rate. There is some analysis of this which we do in the annual report, which indicates that the department had a vacancy rate of 13%. It does fluctuate as a result of transfers and resignations, but we've also indicated that obviously the finalization of the organogram should bring an end to that, but we also need to recognize across the entire public service the compensation of employee ceilings which have been imposed by the National Treasury do lead to vacancies on the departmental establishment, some of which would only really be resolved through the abolition of POGS. And that in itself is a challenge for other reasons, particularly in view of the PSCDC resolution, which indicated there would be no moratorium on the filling of posts, and obviously this will pose a challenge to departments who would then need to take a decision around abolition in view of the compensation ceiling. However, I think on the case of the DPSA, the finalization of the organogram will be the organizational structure will be the decisive intervention from the side of the minister, which will allow us to deal with that vacancy rate fluctuation. And then finally, yeah, we have a slide which indicates, as I've indicated to the committee before, that we do need to strengthen on the compliance with the gender balance in the department at senior management level. We do need to move that 40% to 50% on the side of people with disabilities, so we are compliant and have actually shown improvement during the period to now sit at 3%. So on that note, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, the presentation is complete. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Members, in the interest of time, I suggest that we must now, without taking discussions there, go to the entities, quickly finish them, and we take questions together in the interest of time. Is that agreeable? Yeah. You can sit back, PG. Then I will invite the Center for Public Innovation, Service Innovation. Entities. Where are the entities? Yeah. Okay. I'll be fast, advocate. I want to, again, I came to you to apologize, but I want to put that on record now to apologize to you profusely. Yeah, profusely apologize for what has happened. In future, we will do things better because you were here in time. Okay, then, shoot, Mama.
Chair, I'm not going to do any overview, just to introduce the executive director.
Okay.
She's Lakela Kaunda, who is who has been appointed a position for a period of 12 months, by which we hope we will rise to the occasion and get a person on a permanent basis. But for now, she's there in the accounting office. Thank you.
Over to you then, Mama.
Thank you.
hard copy because
I think go to the hard copy because
members do have the hard copy.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Well, you know.
And then we also had the multimedia innovation center where public servants were able to come and use their skills and use the technology and learn more how to innovate and improve the way they do business. We have a little challenge at the moment since we're located from Centurion to Batubin House headquarters, that the center is not functional. We are currently speaking to our landlord at CSA to find space. And then some of the projects that are well known, like the annual public sector innovation conference in place, and then the popular innovation awards from which we derive most of the projects, which are then replicated by the public service. And we have won the winner of the year, which was an exciting and very good project, assisting children with cerebral palsy, which was done by Baragwanath Hospital, where sending boxes, sending trains, as you can see the pictures there, will make life improve for children with cerebral palsy. The minister will be handing over the boxes at Baragwanath Hospital next month on the 15th as part of this activity month. And as part of this, we'll be hosting during the budget with the meeting process that there must be more effort done to cope in other ministers, premiers, other departments to know about the solutions and the as a result, the minister is inviting his colleagues, the minister of Forest and Services and Social Health, because we are looking at, we are working with the Department of Forest and Services to, so that inmates, offenders can produce these boxes for the sending boxes for the children. And then going to the targets not achieved, we spent 97% of our budget, and then the reason is the operational, for example, the relocation, maintenance, we're not paying his payment. Also, the savings from the imposed. Also, projected payments for license were not paid to the PSA because we did not receive the same, etc. And also, 98% implementation of internal and external audit documentation. And other targets, 2 innovative solutions were not developed and identified due to staffing constraints. And we are hoping it will be completed this year with staff members. And then we have that popular innovation journal, which was compiled but not published. One, because we issued RFPs, we didn't get a good response. And then we also moved offices, which sort of delayed processes. And then there's an 11% vacancy rate. The minister mentioned the executive director for his current field is here for 1 year. And then there are other votes. And then we also would like to vote that the management of CPSI is 66% female, and then people with disabilities at 5%. All performance agreements were concluded and signed, and the process was concluded, so on the whole, everything is going well. In terms of the financial information, 18 million spent during the financial year for the position of employees, 14.2 on books and services, and just galloped through. Yeah, I think it's there, it's a sort of the expenditure on venues, I don't want to do all the smaller details. Then I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can the National School of Government come forward? Just to report, Chair, the acting principal couldn't make it. They're having a conference, and it was critical that she remained the conference because it's been closed today. And his position, Dino Punsami, who is the Chief Director of Strategic Planning at NSG. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Our presentation today will cover the broad areas. I'm not going to spend too long on the audit outcomes. I think the AG has given us less information. But we'll talk quite broadly in terms of the performance, some of the highlights, and the financial performance. Just to indicate, Chairperson, that in as far as the annual performance plan for the school for the 2018-19 financial year, we have set 24 performance targets in the APP, and 21 of that was achieved, which translates to 91% of the achievement of targets. In as far as the training numbers are concerned, we trained a total of 61,000 learners in all training streams, against the target which we have set at 48,000. And this includes the training of unemployed youth graduates and the interns in the public service. And then, Chair, just to confirm, I think what was presented this morning, you know, as far as the school receiving a clean audit on the vote account and the unqualified trade. This is just a summary again, Chairperson. I'm not going to deal with this. And on this slide, Chair, just the trends in as far as the audit outcomes, you know, which again was presented by the AG this morning. Some of the highlights, Chairperson, we looked at training in the South African National Park, where we trained about 130 people on the Emerging Management Development Program, which was done in partnership with the university. And of course, you know, the big area of focus for us, even in the new financial year, is around the SMS pre-entry program for senior management. We've done the development of the program. We've conducted some workshops, particularly partnering here in the Western Cape Department of Local Government and the community chest around leadership and community participation. And of course, the prioritization of programs such as you know, the discourse on ethics that allows managers to recognize ethical dilemmas and apply them within the principles of governance. Again, as far as the monitoring, planning and evaluation, we've trained more than 2,500 employees. In as far as planning is concerned, we've also looked at a review of the number of our programs. And during this financial year, we also focused on improvements of service such as the citizen-centered development service delivery, as well as the evidence-based policy making and implementation. And of course, the use of the Rotanama Africa, which is to use training facilitators to be able to train. Chair, this is on the slide. 9 that deals with the performance. You know, again, it's just a quick synopsis of the performance over the 3 years. If I go into the detailed presentation in as far as the performance for Program 1, I think what is important to note is the revenue generation. We're generating revenue to the tune of 139 million for the financial year. Vacancy rate at 9% against a target of 10%, and of course, importantly, the disaster recovery solutions within the NSG. There is one target here, Chairperson, on this slide, which we have not met, which deals with the payment of supplies within 30 days. So you'll note that out of the 3,700 odd invoices, one was not paid within the 30-day period. We've looked at that, and we are taking measures to improve the controls within the NSG. On the next slide, Chairperson, another target which we had not achieved on the vote was the international agreement. We should have signed 3 agreements, but two were signed, and there was a delay with one of the agreements which was not done within the stipulated timeline. And as far as the HR information, Chairperson, the school has 229 posts, of that 208 are filled, and that's the breakdown in as far as the employment within the school. With regard to employment equity, the school stands at 60.6% female, 25.5% youth, and 3.4% persons with disability. In as far as the vote account is concerned, Chair, there was a virement to the amount of 3.8 million that was approved by Treasury, and the amount of the 470,000 irregular expenditure is under review. So with regards to the financial performance, Chair, there is an under expenditure of 2.1 million, and the graph below then shows that under expenditure largely in the area of compensation of employees, goods and services, as well as capital expenditure. On Program 2, Chair, which is the core business, all of the targets have been met. Some of the highlights include the research that was undertaken, the training needs analysis, the evaluations, as well as the application of learning studies, the curriculum, as I've indicated, and with regard to the executive coaching program, the appointment of coaches to support at executive management level. Chair, these slides are just a breakdown of the different targets that were achieved. I'm not going to go through them. And again, just to indicate, as far as the performance of the training numbers, you'll see that there has been significant increase as far as you know, the targets, about 126% achievement. Slide 25 gives a breakdown you know, in as far as the last three financial years, the performance of the school in as far as the different streams. And on the performance chair, I think, you know, again, the irregular expenditure that I referred to was the thing important to share on the issues of the matters that AG raised this morning. You know, certainly there is a process, you know, with regards to the training matter. There is, at, you know, at a departmental level, people sign declarations as far as the training is concerned. So that matter is currently being dealt with within the school. This is just the financial performance of the school, you know, with regard to the trade account share, you know, as I've indicated, the surplus in the revenue generation for this year. We have provided some responses you know, as far as the budget report, and that is contained in the presentation. I think important thing to note is that we are looking at improving the revenue collection strategy, noting the point that the AG raised you know, this morning regarding the revenue strategy for the school, you know, as well as how we deal with those who are not attending the training courses. And I think you know, here importantly, Chair, is, you know, with regard to the you know, to the necessary mechanisms to make the NSG a training institution of choice to public servants. We are working quite hard in as far as you know, some of the initiatives to engage with client departments, working closer. We've developed an online tool that can assist departments in as far as the training needs analysis. And lastly, Chair, as far as the work that is concerned with the accreditation of the program, we then explain some of the processes with regard to the accreditation of our program. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, discussions are open now on all
presentations.
Honorable Usom.
employee housing scheme, like it has been there. And also, because the other issue that we have financially, that the department or whichever that account is accruing interest. And I think if you can pay attention to that, so that it can be finally and completely implemented, because we are saying that we are a caring government, but also if we are not caring, we seem not caring to the people that we.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just one general comment, first of all. I think there is progress, and specifically on the NSG, so I think a commendation to them for getting the clean audit. But I do think, given the fact that this portfolio, and in the department specifically, is really required to set the example for the public service, people look to the public service ministry and these entities set an example, I do think we should really try and push for clean audits across the board on this portfolio next year, because it will really send a powerful message, I think, a signal that across the public service, this is what will be the expectation. In terms of specific comments, Chair, I'd like to make two of them directed at the department itself. The first one includes also, is related to the report on public servants conducting business with an organ of state. I'd like to request if that report can be made available, whether the Secretary, Mrs. Zabeka, would be willing to follow up for us. Whether we can see that report will be my first request on that. But perhaps more seriously is the fact that it states here a number of departments identified public officials who did not resign, but are continuing to conduct business with an organ of state. I'm not sure how many we are referring to, how many public servants we are referring to, but that seems like a very serious situation. It then states that departments are being requested to provide feedback on what disciplinary steps were taken against officials who have not resigned, but are still doing business with an organ of state. This shows clear contempt, Chair. It is a it is an arrogant and a brazen ignoring of the rules and the laws. So I'd like to know from the DG what steps will be taken here against, you know, if you receive feedback from the department and these people continue to just essentially ignore these regulations and rules, what steps will be taken against them? Because it's frankly just not acceptable to be so brazen. Then the other question relates to the disciplinary cases. This is on page 14, slide 14. There's a reference to the target. This is under non-achieved annual targets. So these reports that were not handed in, I think, on time. But even more worrying for me is the rate at which these cases are being finalized. So at national level, we've got 62% of cases that have been finalized, but it cost 27 million rand in the meantime while officials were on precautionary suspension. And then really, really alarmingly, at provincial level, we've got 36% finalization rate, which cost 19 million rand. So what is the department planning to do to improve this situation? This needs to get to 100%. I assume we all agree on that disciplinary cases must be handled within the given time frame and with as little cost to the taxpayer as possible. But this is really alarming in both cases, but specifically at provincial level. So my question there would be, what is the plan for dealing with this? Thank you, Chair.
Another problem on it.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. On the NSG, what does the curriculum of the Nukela program entail? And then on CPSI, the vacant rate stood at 11% during the 2018-2019 financial year. Is there any improvement to bring the rate below 10%? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on slide 11, I'd like to, point six, it says 11 workshops were conducted with productivity measures, the productivity measurement tool. I would like to know these workshops that we conduct and the tools we have in place, is there any way that we can monitor that it actually has a good outcome on officials in terms of service delivery once we conduct these workshops, you know, versus what we spend conducting the workshops, what are the outcomes in terms of service delivery when we do this? So it'd be interesting to know that they are that these measures that we put in place are actually working effectively. Then in terms of slide 26, and I would like to compliment the department because I always believe when there's good things done, we must also highlight that. You know, that the 30-day payment is in line, unauthorized expenditures, you know, was not incurred during the financial year, and so forth. But one issue I would like to highlight from that slide is the unfilled vacant posts. And the DG did say that the organogram is about to be finalized. DG, can I ask you when that will be done? Because I always say if we don't put any time frames to these things, they become open-ended. So that was on that. Then I'd like to ask on page 15 for the CPSI, there's a clause, there's a point there that says lease payments amounting to 333,000 was not paid as anticipated due to the lease relocation to Butterpile House. Sorry, my glasses broke off, yes, and I've got a pair of glasses on that's not mine, so I'm really battling to see. I would like to know what was the cause of the lease payments amounting to 333,000 not being paid? Because I'm just cautious that this is an agreement, a legal agreement, and if I could just get some explanation around that so that we don't find ourselves having to pay legal costs and an exacerbated amount for 333,000 that has not been paid. So if I could just get clarity on that. Then moving on to the NSG, on highlights of the annual performance. It says more than 2,500 employees have been trained on planning, monitoring and evaluation. Now, this is the question I asked the Minister in the House, and I am quite insistent to see what measurable impact that we provide at the NSG has on officials when they go for the training, because I would hope that when our officials go to the NSG for training, there's some kind of tool that measures the training that they've received in terms of their day-to-day work environment and whether, you know, it has a positive impact in terms of service delivery. Thank you.
Honourable Dorothy.
And the yellow. And if you come up
I'm just raising it from the point of lesson that could be learned to what I'm saying in the green. Because if you are in the green and then to the yellow, doesn't give a difference. I'm raising this also for other then on that, on how you feel that thing. So maybe they can work in that, share that. But one would want to test whether at least we can say, in terms of systems and everything else, we can be comfortable that it is based on that. Again, as I say, it's linked to that. Looking at the vacancy on the high skilled position in senior management level, in responding to the issues raised by the AG, whether those vacancies have a contribution or it is just an issue of skills. If there's a real difference on some of the things, the question that gets asked is whether it's still the same people in the same industry and face to the same matter. I think there's an understanding on the understanding that you have made to sort of raise if you're not related to the other. But it would have been very helpful from the point of view of money. That, as you said, a comparison in terms of the performance target that has been achieved, as I said, was not achieved. The performance target achieved, there has been a spending right, on the other side. That to also check that we don't get to situations where in a program, probably at 50%. When in fact, from a budget point of view, you are 100%. I want to meet that comparison so that you also know what could be available for that. And I say, if you minus the cost of employees, so those are the.
Honorable Kim?
Yeah, and Honorable Kim. Also, welcome the presentation. But I want to appreciate the fact that you have been busy finalizing the organizational structure. As the organizational structure is being I also want to ask this question from a question. I'm not sure whether you can ask the service delivery improvement plan were not submitted on time for approval. Is there any impact on service improvement due to the next submission of this plan?
I will start with the department to respond on the questions that were raised on the department, and then the entities will follow that. Or the minister can cover all of them if you want.
No, I don't want to be found wanting on the law.
Okay.
Because I'm not an accounting officer. Let me start with the DBSA and ask DG to respond, and then we will and then top up.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, first up. I think two of the Honourable Members made an important point, and that is that the DPSA needs to set an example for the entire public service, and I think the point is well taken. I think that's a valid issue. So, you know, one wouldn't want to necessarily make excuses, but perhaps one will refer to some of the issues that were difficult to control in the current audit. And my colleague, the CFO, is here. He may also intervene briefly. I think on the government employee housing scheme, there's been maybe too much focus on the corporate form, but the housing scheme is in motion. That's the point. There's a gap that we need to fill in terms of employees who would qualify for the benefit and who maybe are not using it optimally. But I think the minister commented at the beginning that entity formation has gone too far in the state, and we wouldn't necessarily set up another entity to run this particular scheme. So the scheme is running. It is a macro benefit, like other macro benefits that are managed from the DPSA. But trying to get into issues, for example, of bond origination, providing support to employees who need to manage their debt prior to entry to the scheme, etc., is maybe the real substance rather than what the corporate form is, and how can the department best support those employees in order to gain full access to the scheme. But I'm sure this is a matter that we would interact with the committee going forward as well. I think on the graduate recruitment scheme, though, although the report was late, I do think that there are achievements, which we have reported to the committee just prior to the end of the fifth administration. Because the reality is that for the financial years 18, 19, and 19, 20, we have commitments of over 310 million rand from the public service to supporting new graduates coming in. Now that's high. I don't think there's any sector in South African society that has actually made that kind of commitment to youth employment. So I do think that maybe that's an issue we can deal with in greater depth in the future, but there are achievements actually in that program. It's just that the submission of the report was late. The issue of the disciplinary cases that have been referred to by two of the honorable members, I think it's important to always emphasize, not looking for an excuse, to emphasize that public administration is decentralized in South Africa, and that the actual responsibility with implementation of many of the provisions in the Public Service Act is the responsibility of departments. Discipline management is a responsibility of the head of department. It's not really the responsibility of the DPSA, but I think it's because of the flaws in implementation that we are seriously looking at a more interventionist approach from the DPSA. When identifying areas of non-compliance, there are empowering provisions in Section 16A of the Public Service Act, which would allow both the Minister and the DG of the DPSA to maybe take a stronger line that has been taken up until now. And I think those are the things we should consider. But having sat as an official in this portfolio committee for the last 20 years, I would say that some of the issues that were raised in this committee before do need to be taken more seriously. Why does this committee, for example, not consider, like SCOPA, inviting specific departments? And it has happened in the past. So we can provide technical support in terms of identifying where there is lack of compliance, but I think the committee may want to consider calling departments who do not comply directly to this committee, given the fact that there's a lot of decentralization in public administration. So I think maybe that's quite important, as well as to say that obviously, with the implementation of the Public Administration and Management Act and all its regulations, which are currently under deliberation, there will also be additional powers which the Technical Assistance Unit on Disciplinary Management and ethical matters, ethical support to departments, will provide more space for the department itself to be more activist in its interventions, including with investigations that could deal with some of the challenges which we see across the public service. On the productivity measures, I mean, a lot of the workshops were focusing more on the testing of the new mechanism. So when we finalize now the organogram and with the President's proclamation on the Office of Standards and Compliance is when we would be in a position then to begin testing across the system and then monitoring the impact of the mechanisms we have developed on productivity measurement. The finalization of the organogram is really, I think, down to the final stages now because there are proposals that have been made to the minister which should be finalized, as he indicated, within the next few weeks. So I think the finalization of the organogram in terms of the time frame, the minister may want to pronounce on the final sort of deadline. But on the APRM, raised by the honourable member, the issue of the implementation of the APRM, all member states of the AU are not members of the APRM instrument. So it's separate to being a member of the AU. It's an additional commitment made by increasingly the majority of member states of the AU. But as I indicated, the timing of the review itself, there is a strong recommendation from the APRM Secretariat that there should be no implementation of the APRM during an electoral cycle, given the overarching nature of the framework, the work that needs to be done between government and different sectors of society. It can end up getting caught up in election dynamics, and hence it hasn't been recommended to be undertaken during the electoral period. I do think that the issue of maybe non-delivery of certain outputs and the relationship to the findings in the performance audit are things we can look at, and perhaps that analysis could be performed in a more rigorous way. But I think on the face of it, it wasn't necessarily the reason for the non-delivery. I think if one looks at the, for example, in the service delivery branch, the actual non-delivery of two of the outputs there was not necessarily related to skilled capacity, but it was a report compilation which just didn't get completed within the window period. I think the service delivery improvement plans going forward are an area that the department does need to focus on. I think a lot of the service delivery improvement plan work done by departments is more ticking boxes and compliance than really looking at enhancing the quality of service delivery, because it would be possible in many cases to say, well, the service delivery plan is there, the task has been done, but those departments themselves are plagued by service delivery challenges which manifest in the way we all know through service delivery protests. So I think the issue of service delivery improvement plans is certainly an area that needs content strengthening, if I can put it that way. Because remember, departments have many, many services. If you break down a department different components, it's not like it delivers one service, it delivers a number of services, and departments often for compliance purposes end up focusing on services which are not really the core and essence of what needs to be improved. So I think that is a big area that we need to be focusing on improving going forward. I'm not sure if my colleague would like to add anything in terms of the audit itself. maybe to say, though, that the DPSA was very close to a clean audit this time around. Even the audit committee was expecting it, so I think next time, hopefully, we will actually accomplish that. Thank you.
Now that DPSA has responded in the form of DC, I want to start where he ends, to say there's no discount from the two of us. We know closelessness and we're part of it, but we've made it clear and there's no discount. We have to get to the top. Just one addition to what the DG has said in relation to disciplinary cases. Yes, we've taken one step, and we need to take the second one. First step, we have said those matters that have been referred to the PSA by those who are affected, we now need to meet with the PSC twice a year. The first meeting is due, so that they give us cases where they have recommended action by EAs, but those actions have not been, or those recommendations have been either ignored or implemented in a different way other than what is recommended. Now, because we see that there's a particular gap there, they do the work where necessary, but then they get ignored just because their findings are not necessarily legally binding. But in other aspects, like if you base most of the time, if you take their findings into consideration after investigations, you will find a lot of sense in what they would be recommending, and then they get ignored on the basis of enforceability and so on. So we want to close that gap. We'll do that. But the second one is what the DG is referring to. We'll look at that to respond to your specific question, that we have to start this process of the DG and the EA actually acting. And the law provides for it in the form of the Public Service Management Act, where we can escalate escalate our action on it. We'll be looking at that because provisions there. But as it says, we just sometimes say, EA, please act there, and we have to step up. Thank you. But the Deputy Minister will want to also add their comments.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you, honorable members. Maybe to welcome the comments made by members on things that they believe we're doing very well and that is appreciated. I just want to say something with regards to the filling of vacancies, particularly the appointment of the DGs, as it was raised by the honorable member, as was raised yesterday and indicated here today with the DPME, that the minister indicated that with the reconfiguration of government and the merging of departments physically, you will have two DDGs responsible for administration, for instance, from this department and the department that is merging. You might have two CFOs, another one coming from the other department. And therefore, if at the same time as we merge and reconfigure government, we are employing DDGs, we definitely have surplus. And it is in that regard that we probably said for now, let's not be employing, particularly those because they are approved by the minister and the PSA, to say let's wait until that process is completed, and then we are able to place people where they can be placed. Otherwise, you're going to have excess of people. So that is the reason why. So anyone, even if it is DPMA, when they come and they have vacancies at that level, the members, honorable members, might understand the fact that even if they may have probably advertised and so on, but it would have been difficult at this time to say go ahead and employ, when in actual fact we have many people that might actually be in excess if we do not act and probably put on hold that process at that level of appointment. So I'm just saying it for the understanding. Table of progress and recommendations coming from the portfolio committee, we're appreciating the fact that you have seen them and will continue to do that, because when you make recommendations, it's important for the department to respond to the portfolio committee to say, this we have achieved, this we have done, this we would plan to do this, and of course going forward, this is what we have done. Maybe just one question asked by the honourable member on the lease payment by CPSI. CPSI occupied the building and it moved to the department building, and therefore the money that we're supposed to pay to the owner of that building had therefore not to be paid, because they were now in the department. They are actually occupying, they are now in the offices of the Department of Public Service and Administration, and that is why they said savings on this payment. It's a matter of them moving physically to the DPSA and therefore not having to pay any lease now going forward. Of course, looking into the future, I mean, you know, but for now they are not paying any lease. I think that is that. And of course, thank the members for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I see Honorable Clark wants to come.
Thank you, Chairperson. The DG said that the minister would reply to tell us when the organogram would be finalized.
All right. Look, I haven't, after this meeting, there's a meeting with DG. It's a prior arrangement that we made. One of the things we want to cover is to say to DG, what is outstanding on your side for the organogram to be completed, and what is, according to him, is outstanding on my side. We audit that and we arrive at a date that is actually practical. Because a few times ago, we've done this thing to say, no, complete this, and then there's something else, there's something. So this time, we've made an arrangement to meet shortly after this, so that we are certain that everything, our road is clear to the adoption. We will be clear shortly after that particular meeting in terms of when is the occurring. But as I say, it's a question of just auditing those steps that need to be taken after we apply our minds. Thanks.
Thank you. Public service. There's another hand.
Thank you, Chair. Just briefly to welcome, I think, the Minister's undertaking to improve that coordination with the PSC and following up on those recommendations. My understanding is that those recommendations are not necessarily the same thing as the disciplinary cases that we are talking about. But I think perhaps it's worth noting that what the DG said about this committee's role in terms of following up with both recommendations and disciplinary cases that are not being handled as they should be. And just to, from my side, for us to consider perhaps how we can link also with what you are talking about. So if there's better coordination between the PSC and yourselves, how we can be brought into the loop to ensure where there are cases where the portfolio committee may be the more appropriate one to deal with something, I think it's something that we must avail ourselves to, Chair, obviously for us to decide amongst ourselves, but I just want to put that on record from my side at least, that that kind of coordination I think is a very good idea. So thanks for that.
I see a hand at the back.
Okay, Chair, I was going to respond on the NSG issue.
Okay. Okay, fine.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the members for the questions raised. I think on the first issue of the pre-entry into the SMS that the Honourable Member raised, I think we are responding to a ministerial directive which now provides for senior managers to complete a pre-entry program. Chair, I think in the interest of time, we will share through the Secretariat the outline of the program to the members of the committee. Suffice to say that it focuses around matters of citizenship and patriotism, around matters of African leadership and really understanding government and the self as an individual.
So we commit to share that program outline with the committee through the secretariat, and so that you can also see the program that we will be rolling out as the school. With regard to the turnaround strategy, Honourable Member, we certainly have taken the direction that this committee has given us, and we are working on that. Just to add that we have also met with the National Treasury last week in as far as the TTA is concerned and how we can generate the revenue. So there are certain proposals that the Treasury has made as well that we will be incorporating into this process. Honourable Member, regarding the measuring of the impact, it certainly is something that we are dealing with, but sometimes it does pose a challenge when the learners go back to the departments and for us trying to understand the impact. But again, Chair, what we have, you'll note, Member, is that there is in our plans what we call the application of learning studies, which seeks to understand the sort of outcomes that our training interventions are making. So with that as well, I think maybe what we can do is provide some sort of analysis. We do know that the application of learning studies, it tests before the training intervention as well as after the training intervention on the learner. And we do know that there are some improvements, that there is, which actually shows the sort of impact of the training. But we'll provide an analysis of those application of learning studies, how the improvements are being measured. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Deputy Minister covered us on the lease agreements. Just to emphasize that the lease had already expired, so there was no loss when we moved over to Billy House. It had already expired. And then there was a question on the 11% vacancy rate. Because we are so small, 11% sounds like many people. It's actually two posts. Deputy Director, Strategic Management, as well as the Supply Chain Officer, both are being worked on. And then the third one has been the Executive Director, which has been filled by a secondment. So all of it is being taken care of. And then the comment on the need for us to move beyond Gauteng with regards to projects has been noted. We have already begun to do that. There's work that is being done with Home Affairs on real-time monitoring of service delivery, which will be national, and then there are projects that are being done with Limpopo, with the Eastern Cape as mentioned, so we appreciate the feedback it's being worked on. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Overall, Chair, we are now covered. And we thank you very much for your scrutiny, for the questions, and for some of the suggestions, especially around the important issues that we have to do and we want to say to you. We thank you for those. Some of the things you have them, but you say we haven't acted like on the discipline, and we see that a lot of the input who will respond in that particular way. PSC is an older child. I'm sure they can deal with themselves.
Thank you.
Over to you, Public Service Committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Member of the Secretarial Committee. I would like us to join the minister and in also saying that we welcome the input from the AG. We accept the findings that they have made in relation to the Public Service Commission, and the Director General and an accounting officer have already taken some of the actions that are necessary to ensure that those are corrected, and also to ensure that some of the indicated officials take responsibility for that. But I do want, without any being defensive, to make the following comments to the Portfolio Committee, because we do expect the Portfolio Committee to also assist us. There is some challenge, both with the Public Service Commission and a number of departments, both at national and provincial level, with the procurement monopoly that are created by government on my favor. CETA is the problem. It is very slow, and even if you look at economies of scale, it is not cheaper than other bodies. And therefore, I know I'm not justifying my officials when they do not procure the switchboard through CETA. But if you look at the fact that we run a hotline for the entire organization, and CETA would run us around for 12 months before we get that system, sometimes you do have some sympathy as to why sometimes it's difficult to go through CETA. So I do want, I'll present to the Minister of Telecommunications, I've also returned to Treasury and also to CETA, and we do want this committee to help us. That Treasury is right in saying we must procure to CETA because it's what is happening, but they don't deliver. We tried the CETA warehouse, which now they've also found us with the CETA warehouse, that we are not managing the government properly because that procurement was done by CETA and it was not efficient. The same thing I want us to be associated with public works, Mr. Chairperson, because for 5 months, for instance, my office in Western Cape has not had aircon, and we can't talk to the landlord, public workers to deal with that. My office in Free State still cannot, for 4 years, has not been able to procure accommodation for that. It took 5 years to procure accommodation for that at National. And for 6 months this year, we were unable to have officials that we have blind, because public works contract management could not decide between the landlord and public works who must put in that blind. We had to ask the Director General after that to actually put in some blinds. After officials who could not work on computers, we're putting pickles on windows, like we're living in an upmarket, but again. The same way we're struggling with the state attorney, government is losing 7 out of 10 cases, because the management of those cases is so poor by the state attorney. We produce a report to justice indicating this matter, and departments now are trying even to procure lawyers separately, because they don't understand the lawyers that are procured by state attorney. And secondly, there is manual relationship in my investigation that we deal with, that shows that the state attorney, some of them in the panels they are doing, they are actually getting 10% payback for the type of lawyer they choose, not for what you win. So I'm just saying that we will be punished sometimes for these things, but part of the problem is that the systems that we are sent to procure things through are not working and are not efficient. But we are not complaining with AG. The AG have to do their work. If we're not procured properly, they have to say we've not done that. But I do want to indicate that. The second point that Mr. Chairperson, I must indicate, yesterday I paid a visit to the Premier of Western Cape, Mr. Alan Wynne, just to catch up his visit and to discuss the outcomes, procurement outcomes. When we were discussing them, one of the things that came out is the tension between compliance and service delivery sometimes. I mean, we spend a lot of time and many officials complying with the rules by the AG, with the reporting and so on. But we are saying that there is some tension sometimes because sometimes a body like ours, for instance, has to have some agility in dealing with some of the emergent things that we cannot plan and foresee. But if you are going to speak to an APP and deal with that, we found sometimes with the AG has said, but you plan to do this thing, but you did also 5 and 10 others. And when we were being punished, even the Premier Promotion Case was saying, okay, I have 15 departments that got clean audits, but there's one department out of the 16 which did not get a clean audit. But the problem is that the department produced more energy for that through green energy, but there was a rule about the need to do transfers, which actually limited the way it can do that in order to create jobs and also create electricity in the Western Cape. So I do think that we need at one stage to discuss with the AG through your facilitation, and also to discuss with the PSMA rules and so on, to try and see how can we comply and put government which is necessary, but what can we also do to ensure that there's agility in terms of delivery and responding to some of the challenges that we face that are completely unplanned. And also, how do we make an impact? Because I think, Mr. Chairperson, I'm not undermining the government, the chairperson of the Public Service Commission, I should phrase that. But there is a vast difference between a clean audit and the impact that is made on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, I'm not saying that we should not have it, but I'm just saying, how do we manage this very well? Is that a question of obligation to our communication?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Nema, Minister, and Deputy Minister, Chairperson of the Public Service Commission, and colleagues, good afternoon. The presentation of the Public Service Commission will show the summary performance of the Commission, the financial performance, and then will therefore indicate the overview of performance information and the programs of the Public Service Commission. The summary is as follows. The Public Service Commission attained all its annual performance plan, the APP, targets in the 18-19 financial year. So that slide shows exactly what we have achieved and we're saying for the commission, we have achieved all our targets as in 18-19 financial year. In terms of the expenditure against the budget for the Public Service Commission, that would indicate that when we have achieved 100% of annual performance plan in terms of our target, financially we have also spent 99.8%. So that's also confirmed that our budget and the performance information, they talk to each other. We also like to indicate here on the slide that the surplus that was surrendered to the National Treasury was the one on 0.2%, which is allowed by law. We also want to indicate that on the 18th of October 2017, Cabinet approved criminal asset recovery account, which is regarded or known as current funding from the Department of Justice through SIM to implement national anti-corruption forum activities in an amount of 2.4 million was spent in the recovery. In terms of the programs of the Public Service Commission, Public Service Commission has got four programs. It is through these programs that the mandate of the Public Service Commission are operationalized. And this is how the programs perform in terms of the financial expenditure. We already know through this slide that the AG has indicated that we've got unqualified opinions. But we just want to indicate that the one that the chairperson of the Public Service Commission has already indicated that they regularly went through non-purchase or fulfillment of the telephone, not proceed. And indeed, the AG has also confirmed that no movement and wasteful expenditure, as well as unauthorized expenditure, to the Supreme Court IRLP. This is very important, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, just to indicate that the findings in respect of the usefulness and availability of reported performance information were for two programs. That leadership management practices and integrity and anti-corruption branches. But this was largely due to the lack of a newly implemented integrated grievance and complaints management system, and the system has challenges where we have already worked to identify by the AG. In respect of those findings that related to administrative oversight, corrective actions were taken through written and further written warnings and to ensure that the management put appropriate internal controls in place to ensure that they include reliable information going forward. Honorable Chair, that is the summary of the performance of the Public Service Commission in terms of the preliminary. But in terms of the respective programs, which is what I'm going to present now, we start with program one. But I won't bore you with this information, Honorable Chair, because we already indicated that we have achieved 100% of our performance, but I won't even go to the details of that. That is under program one. Just to indicate on this slide, particularly on the last bullet, that in terms of disability, we are on 1.95, and then in terms of SMS at management level, we are on 46.5%. But efforts have been made that back and forth are also addressed accordingly so that we can meet this particular target. With regard to program two, which is leadership and management practices, indeed, similarly, we have achieved all the targets, but just to indicate that apart from the annual performance plan target, there were also other activities that the Commission conducted and achieved during the period under review. This slide shows the exact answer, but perhaps just to indicate where one, and I'll just choose bullet, the last one, because I know honorable members have these documents in their possession, that we produced and submitted to the Presidency an aid memo on the causes of tensions and the political administrative interface and the impact on the public service. This was at the request of the President, when the Chairperson is met with the President, and they were requested to say what are the issues that the Public Service Commission, based on the research that the PSC has conducted and the evidence thereof, which led to particular tensions between the PAs and the accounting officers and the procurement office. And was of the view that the document will be key to the President, particularly because it drives to the performance management of the accounting office. With regard to program number three, which is monitoring and evaluation, again, we have already raised that we have achieved more, but just to indicate other achievements that the PSC conducted, which were outside the APC, and in this regard, we just want to indicate that the Commission, I'll use bullet now, the last bullet again in this regard, just to amplify some of those achievements. There were engagements with selected departments, the Department of Transport, particularly licensing and testing, and Home Affairs. After the PSC received reports by citizens who were being turned away due to long queues, as well as alleged reported poor treatment of patients at the hospital. So Commission received complaints because officials or citizens were told, were to inform the Commission that they were turned away by the public service, particularly towards the end of the day, around 2 or 3, when they have sensed that they were long queues. Commission intervened and interacted with the department to ensure that this cannot happen or continue, because many of those citizens, we have traveled long distances to come to this point and would not have had money to come back the following day and so on. So our intervention really contributed significantly in terms of responding to those challenges that the last program of the Public Service Commission is integrity and anti-corruption. As well, we agree that we have achieved all, but we just want to also bring to the attention of the portfolio committee through your honorable chair that there were also additional targets that the commission achieved, which were outside the annual performance plan. And in this regard, we have conducted two key projects. One that was conducted through Public Works, the request of the minister, the former minister for Public Works, for PSC to come in and assess and audit the appointment of certain of the elected posts which were filled in the department. And the commission indeed completed this with speed and provided a report to the department wherein such irregularities were identified for minister to act going forward. Similarly, the PSC conducted on its own accord the investigation into the state of governance in the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, and it was completed during the period under review. We'd like to conclude, Honorable Chair, by saying that in spite of capacity challenges, the Public Service Commission managed to achieve all its targets as indicated, and the PSC will have to continuously try to strike a balance in conducting its oversight work while also trying to meet the ever-increasing demand by its citizens and stakeholders. And to this end, we are committed to continue to work in that regard. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, Honorable Clark.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the report and the good work that is done through the PSC. But I would like to emphasize, Chairperson, that when the PSC reach all the targets that is expected of them. It's a crying shame, and I've got questions that I've asked, official questions that I've asked, where recommendations, 153 recommendations were made by the PSC to departments, and only 43 of them were implemented, some only partially. And I really think as a committee we need to start assisting the PSC, because to do all that hard work and not to have departments comply with recommendations and just fault them off, don't respond, total blatant disrespect for the work that's done now. I think we really as a committee need to start dealing with this. And Chairperson, for me, the only way that the PSC is going to gain more traction in the work they do is by giving them far more strength in terms of their powers and legislation, and that's something that is critical that should be on the table, Chairperson. Because really, I mean, if the targets are reached and we can actually deal with the outcomes of the recommendations through the targets, through departments, we see far better service delivery happening within the public sector.
Thank you, Chair. The papers are piling up here, my apologies for that. Thank you for the explanation, first of all, I think, on some of the challenges that the PSC is facing. When we received these reports, I was surprised when I saw a yellow color instead of the green, frankly, because that's the kind of expectation that I personally have with the PSC. But the explanations that we were provided with here, Chair, I think do make a lot of sense. Perhaps to just push back for devil's advocate's sake, an organization like the Public Protector in some ways finds itself in a similar position to the PSC. I know you can't comment on what they are doing, but if I understood this just from press reports, the Public Protector actually did get a clean audit in this year. Enlighten me, we're not in that committee. Then the broad question would be, what is your proposal on how we accommodate the flexibility that is required from Chapter 9 and Chapter 10 institutions with the audit process? We don't have to go into full detail, but just equip us a little bit better for that conversation. And then finally, Chair, just to echo what my colleague has said here, I think the Minister earlier referenced again this issue of the PSC's recommendations not being legally binding. I think there's so much impact and legacy that this committee could leave, Chair, if we start addressing that matter legislatively. So I know I've raised this before, but I do think every time we have these interactions, it becomes more clear in a way that we can do actually a lot in this committee if we make them legally binding. So thank you for that, Chair.
Thank you.
I
see no further hands. I want again to thank the Commission and the Chairperson in particular. I want to apologize for the second time. But you, there are some questions that perhaps you want to respond to, then I can give you that opportunity.
No, thank you very much, Dr. Sybrush. Thanks for the question. One of the things that, without commenting on the Public Protector, they've not really,
okay,
for all every time got anything out.
Right. But
they have improved significantly their financial management in dealing with this. But again, the problem with us, the first problem with us we have is that Treasury and the PFMA have not recognized our status as a constitutional institution. They continue to treat us as a department, and with our budget lying in CSA. And as a result, the commissioners don't have any say on the finances or any deal. The DG, for instance, his EA is not the commissioner, the Minister of Public Service and Administration. And as a result, the officials, even when they talk about budgets and systems, they deal with Treasury and so on outside ourselves. We never talk to that we never present anything on the budget. They don't know how our system works. So it's a disjunction.
Mm-hmm.
We have a department where the EA for the DG is the president. The EA for the department for the TFMA purposes is the Minister of Public Service Administration. We are supposed to look after the staff, but basically is look after the DG, and we're responsible for a mandate, but it's implemented by the Department of State.
Mm.
So that disjuncture just creates a messy, messy situation that deals with it. So we do want, and we make that those recommendations, that the department must come to be our secretariat, not to be the public service department. And secondly, we must get our budget through this committee, through presenting, through parliament, and make the things so that both treasurer and us can come here and AG and present what they were, what are the priorities that should be done by the constitutional institution and how they should be performed, rather than we actually follow the officials deciding on their own what the commission should be doing.
Yes.
That's really the problem.
Thank you very much, honourable members. There's only one announcement on my side. There are
Sorry,
DP.
No, thank you. I would definitely not want to ask any questions. Maybe to the DP we can talk about that. Maybe the DP one we can talk. But I would definitely not want to answer any question on a court on the commission. However, it is the right of the committee to invite any person to appear before it. So you can invite, you can get information from the commission on those departments, for instance, that are not complying with the recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And the portfolio committee can decide just to invite one or three, four, to come and account to the portfolio committee to say, why have you not complied with the recommendations of the commission? That it can be done. It is within your right as the portfolio committee in the constitution. You can invite and subpoena anybody, individuals including groupings or departments, or even some to come and appear and provide you with information. So you can do that to get that information to say these are the departments that have not complied over this period. We are inviting them to come before the portfolio committee to come and explain as to why they are not doing it.
Sorry, Chairperson, just on what the Deputy Minister said, I mean, if you take those questions I asked, there is a whole breakdown of all the departments that have not complied. So there's a clear guiding document already. Thank you.
Let me take this opportunity to thank all the presenters that have presented since the beginning of the portfolio committee meeting. Thank you for the sterling work you have done. And by way of announcement, all of the members, the draft report, the secretariat will make them ready by Monday next week at 12 o'clock for consideration and adoption by the committee on the 15th. They will be ready on Monday by 12 o'clock.